I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of I Love Islam, welcome back. Today we have some topics which are very important. Inshallah, we'll be discussing them. Like always, we have some beautiful segments. We have really nice topics, inshallah, ready for the kids to enjoy, inshallah, and learn, inshallah. And also in the studio, we're expecting a few kids will be joining us very soon, inshallah, azza wa jal. But before we do anything else, the first thing that we do, if you remember, we ask you a question. So let's go straight to the quiz of the day.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. 14.
It's quiz of the day. This is the time where we ask you a question and you can give your answers. And we're going to find out who's the first one to get the correct answer. So without any delay, let's see what's the question for today. The question is, how many sajda-e-tilawat are there in part 30 of the Holy Quran? How many sajda-e-tilawat are there in the 30th para of the Quran? That's an interesting one, isn't it? Maybe it's a bit challenging today. You'll have to look at all the pages in para 30 and on the side, find the word as-sajda. Find the word sajda on the side somewhere. You need to tell me how many times does the word sajda come in para 30? How many times is sajda tilawat mentioned or written where we have to do sajda tilawat in para 30? How many times? That's going to be an interesting one. I think it's a bit hard today. What do you think, kids? What do you think? Is it easy or hard? Now, alhamdulillah, we're going to move to our first segment of the day, My Islam.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Welcome to our segment, My Islam. Subhanallah, this is the time where we get a chance to learn about so many beautiful things about our deen, about Islam. And in this segment especially, we touch upon those subjects, those topics that express the greatness and the beauty of Islam. Subhanallah, today we have one such topic that we're going to be discussing, inshallah, azza wa jal. This topic is really, you know, brings warmth to your heart. It's pleasing, it's a beautiful topic, and it brings kindness, softness in your character. What is that topic? What is it? You want to know? Come on then, let's look at the screen. The topic is honor of parents. Subhanallah, today we are going to learn about the greatness and the significance of parents, the honor of parents, how important it is for us to be kind towards parents. Subhanallah, it's a beautiful topic, isn't it? Alhamdulillah, parents love their children. Parents do so much for their children. They give them food, they give them clothes, they, you know, nurture them, they grow them up, they look after them, they look after their safety. You know, they can, whatever the parents can do, they do all that for their children because they love their children. And today we're gonna talk about parents. What we should be doing You know, in the honor and love for parents, what could we do to express our love and kindness towards parents? Subhanallah. But before I mention to you any of the narrations, I want to share a story with you. So kids, can you please make sure you listen to this story? It's a very important story that I'm going to share with you. And also, if you want, ring your friends, let your cousins know, I Love Islam is back again. Tell them to watch this program as well, because we have some important topics that we are going to be discussing today, inshallah azza wa jal. So let me start, you know, without any delay, let me start with a story. I'm going to take you back thousands and thousands of years ago. This was the time of the blessed time of one of the great and mighty prophet of Allah Ta'ala, Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam. Subhanallah. I'm going to share with you an incident that took place, an event that took place at the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Once Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam asked in the court of Allah Ta'ala, Ya Allah, O the one most forgiving, Ya Allah, show me my companion, show me that person who will be my companion in Jannah. Wow, what a beautiful dua, what an amazing dua Prophet Musa al-Islam asked in the court of Allah Ta'ala. Remember, the beloved Prophet Musa al-Islam was blessed with many miracles. He has a very high status in the court of Allah Ta'ala. He's very, you know, one of the mightiest prophets of Allah Ta'ala. And one of the speciality of Prophet Musa al-Islam is that he was blessed to have the honor to communicate and talk to Allah Ta'ala. He is known as Kalimullah. He is able to converse and have a dialogue with Allah Ta'ala. Subhanallah. This was his honor. This is his greatness. Subhanallah. Musa al-Islam once asked in the court of Allah, Ya Allah, O the one who's most forgiving, show me my companion, the one who's going to be with me in Jannah. I want to see that person. Subhanallah. Whilst I share this story with you, Alhamdulillah, we have just been joined by two kids who have just entered the studio. MashaAllah, beautiful smiles. They're looking exciting, MashaAllah. They have come here. They're going to be sitting, inshallah, very soon. They're just getting wired up. And MashaAllah, one of them has something in his hands. He's got a book in his hand. So inshallah, I'm going to request one of our team, they're going to pass me that book inshallah shortly, and they're going to get the kids to sit down, they're going to get them wired up inshallah. But whilst they're getting ready, can we pay attention to the story and also to the kids as well? I'm sharing a story about Prophet Musa al-Islam. So kids, make sure you're paying attention as well, because I'm going to be asking you some questions. Are you ready? Inshallah, they're excited, they're ready, inshallah. So let me carry on with the story. So let me bring you back. Prophet Musa al-Islam made dua. Ya Allah, show me my companion in Jannah. Show me the person who's going to be my friend, my person who's going to be with me in Jannah. Subhanallah. He did dua in the court of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Almighty said to Musa al-Islam, go to so and so city and you will find there so and so butcher. Okay, you need to go and travel to this particular city and there you will find this individual, this butcher. Okay, butcher is a person who cuts and sells meat. Okay, when you go to a meat shop, okay, the one who be in the who's in the meat shop. So either he sells, you know, he owns a meat shop or he sells meat, okay, the butcher. So go and find this butcher. So you need to go and travel to this particular city and find this butcher. You need to go and meet him. And this butcher will be, he is your friend, your companion in paradise. Allahu Akbar. Prophet Musa alayhi wasalam was told to go and travel to so and so city and find this particular butcher, and this butcher is going to be his companion in Jannah. Subhanallah. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the prophet of Allah Ta'ala, he set off. He traveled to that particular city that he was instructed by Allah Ta'ala. And when he reached there, he was searching, he was looking for that butcher, and he found him. He found that butcher, he found that person. And remember, when he found that person, that butcher, he wasn't aware about Musa al-Islam. He has not seen Prophet Musa al-Islam before in his life. He didn't recognize Musa al-Islam. He thought it's just a traveler. Someone has just come, he's passing by. He's a traveler and he's come to me. And this butcher was a nice man. He was a nice guy. He had a really kind heart. And this butcher, he said to Musa al-Islam, please come inside, come to my house and have food with me. He was a person who used to treat his guests nicely. So this butcher, he invited Musa al-Islam to his house. And they both sat down in the house and the food was being prepared. And this butcher brought the food there. And Musa al-Islam and this butcher are about to have the meal. They're about to have this food. And whilst they're having this meal, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam noticed something. And this butcher, he takes one bite of the food and he puts it in his own mouth. And then he takes two bites, and next to where they were eating, this young man, this butcher had a big basket. He had a big basket next to him, which when he started having the meal, he brought that basket near him. And when he eats food, he takes one bite. He puts it in his own mouth. And then he puts two bites of food in that basket. Two bites there, and then he takes one bite himself. And Musa al-Islam is also eating and he's observing things, seeing this, what's going on here. This butcher is taking one bite himself and is putting two bites of the food in that basket. Allahu Akbar, this was like something extraordinary, something different. What's going on? You think, who's in the basket? Why is this butcher putting some food in the basket? And when he puts the food in, then the food just disappears. What's going on? And whilst they were having the meal, someone knocked on the door. And Allahu Akbar, someone knocked on the door, and whilst the butcher, he goes out to attend the person, Prophet Musa al-Islam, he thought, what's going on? He was so curious. He wanted to know what's in the basket. So he quickly went, whilst this butcher's gone out to the door, he quickly went to the basket and he looked inside. And as he looked down, he's noticed there were two people inside. There was an old woman and old man inside. They were weak and old people. They were so weak and so old. They were inside the basket. So this butcher was putting two bites in that basket. He was feeding them. He was giving them food. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. These two people, when they looked up, they saw the beautiful and luminous face of Prophet Musa al-Islam. He was so happy. These two people were so excited. They just by looking and seeing Prophet Musa al-Islam, they expressed their happiness and joy. They had a smile all over their face. They were so excited to see Prophet Musa al-Islam. And whilst looking at Prophet Musa al-Islam with such an excitement, what happened? They both passed away. They died. And whilst this has happened, the butcher has now returned. He's come back to the room. And he noticed his parents have passed away. And Prophet Musa al-Islam was also sitting there, present in that room. Allahu Akbar. What happens next? Inshallah, I'm going to tell you shortly. But before I do that, I want to let you know, two little guests have already joined us in the studio. So let's quickly go and see who has just entered the studio. Let's go and meet them. MashaAllah, we have a regular face here. MashaAllah, first, we have our young Ali who has joined us. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back, Ali.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you doing, Ali?
I'm fine.
Say Alhamdulillah, I'm doing
Alhamdulillah,
well.
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing well.
Yeah. You should also say, every time you should say, Alhamdulillah. If someone asks you about your health or about your well-being, what do you say?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah. And today, Ali, we have been joined by someone special. Someone who's come here for the first time in the studio. It's the big brother of Ali. It's Abdul Qadir. Asalaamu Alaikum, Abdul Qadir.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you doing today?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing fine.
MashaAllah. And Abdul Qadir, how old are you?
10.
10 year old? Are you in year 6 in school?
No.
No, year 5.
Year 5? Year 5. So you're going to be year 6 very soon?
Yes.
MashaAllah. So you're in year 5. And Ali, which year are you in?
Year 3.
Why do you have to guess?
I don't have to guess.
He took time. He thought, oh, let me guess which year am I in. What's going on?
No.
You forgot which year you're in.
I didn't guess. That's my
Or is it one day you go to year 5 and one day you go to year 3?
No.
Do you go to same class every time?
Yeah.
I hope so. I think I'll probably have to go to your school and find out if you go to right class every time.
Obviously.
Hopefully. Inshallah. MashaAllah. Today, Alhamdulillah, we have Ali and we have Abdul Qadir. Both are brothers. MashaAllah, and they have joined us in the studio. You've seen Ali, MashaAllah, he's a superstar. MashaAllah, he's been so fabulous, MashaAllah. And today, he's come back here as well. He's been practicing something, or maybe he didn't practice that much, but he's confident that it's good. What is that thing? We're going to come to it, inshallah, shortly. But let's talk to his elder brother for a bit, inshallah. His elder brother's got something with him. He's got some papers with him. Can you just leave it on the desk? And I'm going to get one of our team members, they're going to pass it to me, inshallah. Then we're going to show it to the viewers, inshallah. Okay, how are you doing, Abdul Qadir?
I'm doing fine.
MashaAllah, do you go to Madrasatul Madina?
Yes. Yeah.
And what do you study there?
And I study the Quran.
He's on 30 Sabara.
Are you Abdul Qadir?
No.
Then can you please be quiet? Thank you very much. We're going to have some fun today, aren't we? Are you excited?
Yes.
MashaAllah. So Ali needs to wait for his turn. That's going to be hard, isn't it? Is it going to be hard? Oh, that's going to be tough. It's going to be a challenge today. So let's speak to your brother first. Let's find out, because he's here for the first time. Then inshallah, we're going to have some activity, okay? And plus, I'm sharing a story with you as well. So I'm going to carry on with the story as well. Okay, we've got a very important topic that we're talking about. Then inshallah, we're going to have you guys to read something. If you want to read something, you can read as well. Ali's going to be reading a knot
What's
anyway.
What's the topic?
What's the topic? Well, we're going to find out in a bit. But you're not paying attention. Since when you came inside the studio, I was talking about that topic.
Oh.
So you were not paying attention already. He's coming to the class without paying attention. Oh, he's going to be in trouble.
Not in the class.
It's a class. When you learn something, you're in a class. Yeah, when you're learning something, it's a class.
Oh.
So you have home class. Look at this. You have school class. You have home class.
Home class.
When you're doing work at home, that could be a class.
No, I do not have homework.
You don't do homework?
No, I don't even have it. My school doesn't give me homework.
Why don't they give you homework? You do everything in school.
Yeah, I just do that.
But do you not do any reading or writing or coloring something at home? I'm sure you'll do something.
No, all I do is just play on my dad's PC.
That's not good, is it? Yeah, we're going to come back to that, okay? We're going to come back to that. MashaAllah, front to me, Abdul Qadir has brought something and he's been doing some artwork. And this is really amazing. The reason I invited him, one of the reasons why I invited Abdul Qadir was that some months ago, he had a book. He had a book and he had some Arabic writing on them. He's been doing some really nice... What you showing me today, is this what you did yourself?
Yes.
Yeah? Did you do it yourself or did someone else do it for you?
I did it myself.
Yourself. MashaAllah, I'm really impressed, MashaAllah, his artwork. And this is something really, exciting and shows his... his creativeness, his neatness, his passion mashallah, and his love for the Quran. It's just amazing, mashallah. Some months ago, I want to let all the kids know, some months ago, Abdul Qadir, he came to Abu Fazan in Medina, an education center in Oldham, and he had a book with him. In that book, he has been writing some of the surah of the Holy Quran. He's been writing the surah in his, with his own handwriting. You know, he used to look at the Quran, he used to copy it, and he used to write it himself. And mashallah, front of me, you know, I can see he has wrote Ayatul Kursi. Here I can read, Allahu la ilaha illa huwal hayyul qayyum, la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wala nawm. Mashallah. No, he's wrote Ayatul Kursi. I can see that writing. He wrote Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And he wrote, Suratul Qadr. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. Wama adraka ma laylatul qadr. Laylatul qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. Tanazzalul malaikatu wal ruhu fiha bi'idhni rabbihim min kulli amr. MashaAllah, he wrote Suratul Qadr, and he finished the surah as well. And then he wrote, what's this now? Alhamdulillah. He's writing different phrases. Yeah. Well, I'm really impressed. Abdul Qadir, this is excellent. It's so good. So good, mashallah. Your handwriting is really neat. And you know what this shows? You know Surah Al-Fatiha as well. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmideen. MashaAllah, you wrote this. And what's this here? This is some part of Ayatul Kursi as well. MashaAllah, that's really, really nice. So beautiful. What made you write this?
Mama, like, it made me write this when I saw someone reading the Quran.
And you thought you want to write it?
Yeah.
Wow, mashallah. And when I show this, I don't know if they can, someone can zoom this. But mashallah, it's beautiful artwork. Obviously for his age, mashallah, it's really good. You know, obviously as a kid, sometimes you can have small errors as well. But he's done a really good job on this. Mashallah, I'm really, really impressed with his, you know, calligraphy, with his writing. And this shows his love for the Quran. This shows his attachment. May Allah Ta'ala bless him. MashaAllah. So proud of you, Abdul Qadir. Really happy to see this artwork, MashaAllah. Now we're going to show, you're going to share, it'll be okay to share it with the kids. Can we share it with everyone on Madani channel? Yeah? MashaAllah. Everyone, can you please look at this? MashaAllah, look at this beautiful piece of work. He's wrote Ayatul Kursi here. Some part of Ayatul Kursi. MashaAllah, we're going to be seeing this, inshallah, shortly. Inshallah. So you have... if you look carefully here, you can see he wrote Allahu la ilaha illa huwal hayyul qayyum la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wala nawm lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard man dhal ladhi yashfa'u 'indahu illa bi idhnihi ya'lamu ma bayna aydihim wa ma khalfahum wa la yuhituna bi shay'in min 'ilmihi illa bima shaa. MashaAllah, he's done really good. And he's, and on the other, I think at the end of the page, he wrote, wasi'a kursiyyuhu samawati wal ard wa la ya'uduhu hifzuhuma wa huwa al aliyyul azim. So he wrote, because he didn't have space on this page. On this page, so he wrote here on the last page, he finished it off there. MashaAllah, it's really, really nice. MashaAllah, and in between, you can also see he wrote Surah Fatiha. You can see Surah Fatiha there as well. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmideen. MashaAllah, he's wrote Surah Fatiha as well. And let's look at some more work that he's done. MashaAllah. He's wrote Tabbat Yada Abi Lahabin Watab. Suratul Lahab, he's wrote some of the verses from there. MashaAllah. And he's wrote Suratul Qadr here as well. This is Suratul Qadr. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. Subhanallah. Can everyone say Subhanallah? MashaAllah. MashaAllah. Well done, Abdul Qadir. This is just amazing. It's so excellent. Proud of you, MashaAllah. And whoever has been helping you in this, it's just so great. MashaAllah, Abdul Qadir, MashaAllah, you're the winner, MashaAllah. You've been a superstar, MashaAllah. Great work. Well done, MashaAllah. And inshallah, we're going to be talking to you as well. We have Ali here. Ali, can you tell me which naat you've been practicing?
Just Ankum Qatara.
Ankum Qatara. So you've been practicing it?
Yes, no, not that much, not that much.
So why are you saying not that much?
Because it's not that much.
That's not good, is it? Are you so proud that, oh, yes, I didn't practice so much. I only practiced little much. Are you proud of it? What's going on? MashaAllah, may Allah bless you. I'm sure Ali is going to do a fabulous job today. He's been practicing. I know he's been practicing and he's got a bit of mindset to it now. So let's see how much he's learned. So everyone needs to join in. So Abdul Qadir, are you going to help us as well? Are you going to join in? The naat is that he's going to read. Yeah, you're going to try it. Inshallah, I'm going to join in with Ali as well. But Ali, we have to do a deal though. You have to be the loudest. Okay, because you're the one who's reading it. We're just going to join you. Is that fair?
Okay.
He said okay. Let's move on then. Come on, Ali. Can you please read the naat? Ankum Qatara Name Muhammad.
Ankum Qatara Name Muhammad. Dil ka ujala Name Muhammad. Dolat jo chaho Dono jaha ki Kallo wazifa Name Muhammad. Nuh o Khalil o Musa o Isa Sab ke hai aka Name Muhammad. Nuh o Khalil o Musa o Isa Sab ke hai aka Name Muhammad. Paaye murade dono jahan mein jisne pukara Name Muhammad. Poochhe ka mola laya hai kya kya Poochhe ka mola laya hai kya kya Main ye kahunga Name Muhammad. Apne raza ke qurban jaaun apne raza ke qurban jaaun apne jameer rizwi ke dil mein
apne raza ke qurban jaaun
apne jameer
no that's the next one
apne raza ke
qurban jaaun
jisne sikhaya name Muhammad
apne jameer rizqi
ke dil mein
aaja sama ja
name Muhammad aankhon ka tara name Muhammad
dil ka ujala name Muhammad.
Subhanallah, mashallah, well done Ali, mashallah, you've done a really good job there. Now we can see you have been practicing. We can tell. What I told you, if you practice, you improve yourself, you become better. Ati, you need to carry on practicing this kalam. You need to master it now.
I think it's already mastered.
You already mastered. Okay, then he's our little master today. MashaAllah. Ali, MashaAllah, you did a really good job there. MashaAllah, beautiful kalam. Before we do anything else, we've got some comments, we've got some messages from kids. So should we read them first?
Okay then.
Okay, no, Ali has given us permission. So we're going to read some messages first. Just to remind everyone who has just, maybe those who've just joined us, we have a question of the day. It's quite challenging. The question is, how many sajdah tilawat are there in 30th para of the Quran?
What is sajdah tilawat?
We're going to find out in a bit, okay? Well, let's wait for the kids to reply. And some kids have already replied. Salam, my name is Inaya from London. London? Sorry, Inaya. From Oldham. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Inaya, you got it right. Well done, Inaya. You got the answer right. MashaAllah. We have Hamza Raza Attari from London. And he's got the answer correct as well. MashaAllah. Well done. And we have Neelam Noor from Leeds. How are you doing, Neelam Noor? Are you okay? MashaAllah, may Allah Ta'ala bless you. Hope you're doing well. And she give us salam. She said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, Neelam Noor, she's given the answer, but that's not the answer to my question. What's going on, Neelam? What are you doing? You got it right. You got the answer right, but to a different question. The question is, in Spara 30, not in the whole Quran, in Spara 30, how many Sajdah Tilawat are there? That was the quiz, that's the question. And your task is you need to find it yourself. You need to look into the Quran, find Spara 30, and find how many Sajdah Tilawat are in Spara 30. So Neelam Noor, you need to go back to the drawing board and come back to us with the right answer. And she also said, please do dua for us. We pray that may Allah Ta'ala may keep you and your whole family safe and protected and well, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. So far, we've got Inaya who got the correct answer. We've got Hamza Raza from London. He's got the correct answer as well. MashaAllah, in the studio, we have Abdul Qadir here. We have Ali here as well. And another regular face in our I Love Islam program has joined us. He was just praying his namaz. That's why he was slightly late. But mashallah, he's back now. He's in the studio. Let's quickly go and meet him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you doing today, Norman Raza?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing good.
MashaAllah. You just prayed your Zohar namaz?
Yeah.
MashaAllah, may Allah Ta'ala bless you, keep reading namaz. And mashallah, I have to say, your Imam Sharif looks really nice today. Mashallah, you're doing a good job.
I just tied it.
Just tied it up today, mashallah. Well done, it's beautiful. Well done. May Allah bless you. And you did it without looking in the mirror as well. Mashallah, well done. It's actually nice. You actually tied your Imam Sharif really nice. Well done. By the way, boys, are we ready? We've got a topic in hand. Should we get back to business? Ali, what do you think? Let's get back to business now. We've got a very important topic that we are discussing today, and that is honor of parents. Honor of?
Parents.
Parents. And I was sharing a story with you. So let me go back to the story now. So can you please pay attention? I might ask you a question from the story, okay? So Ali, can you switch your brain on, please?
Okay.
Thank you. So I was sharing with you an incident that took place long time ago. Thousands and thousands of years ago, at the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, those who've just joined, so I'll just rewind the story for you quickly and I'll get back to the main message. So Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam made dua in the court of Allah. Ya Allah, you are the most merciful. O Rabb, show me my companion, my friend, the one who's going to be with me in Jannah. I want to see that person who you have made my friend, my companion for paradise. It's a beautiful dua, isn't it, Ali? Something really exciting. Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asked in the court of Allah. Allah Almighty said to Musa alayhi salam, go to this particular city, go travel there, and in that city you'll find this particular butcher. Remember, a butcher is a person who cuts and sells meat. So when you go to a butcher shop, you go to a meat shop, that person was normally there. So go and find this butcher, and that person, that butcher is your friend, your companion in paradise. Prophet of Allah, Prophet Musa al-Islam is a prophet of Allah. He has a very high status, so high. He's one of the top personalities, one of the top people. Now, from the whole humans, all the prophets are the best people. And from the prophets, Prophet Musa al-Islam is a very high status. And his companion that Allah Ta'ala has made, one of the companion is a butcher. He's a person who cuts meat. Who could this special person be? So Prophet Musa al-Islam, he traveled all the way to that city. And then he looked around, he searched for that person. And finally he found that butcher. When he reached this butcher, he didn't recognize Prophet Musa al-Islam. So he thought this person is a traveler. So he invited Musa al-Islam to his house for a meal. And whilst they were having a meal, and this man, he had a big basket. He had a big basket. He brought that next to the, where they were having food. And he would take one bite of the food himself, and he would put two bites of food in that basket. And whilst this was happening, Musa al-Islam thought, what's going on here? What's in that basket? Why is he putting food in that basket? And every time he puts this food in the basket, it disappears. What's going on? So Prophet Musa al-Islam was curious. He wanted to know, what's going on? What's the secret here? So then suddenly someone knocked on the door. So this butcher, he went outside to attend the door. And Musa al-Islam found this opportunity, and he al-Islam went to this basket. He looked inside. He found two people inside. One old and weak woman, and the other one was an old man. They were both weak. They were really old people. They couldn't eat themselves. So he realized that this butcher used to put two bites of food, one for the mother, one for the father, for these two people. Well, this man used to feed these people. And he was so surprised. I mean, these two people, when they raised their head, they looked and they saw the beautiful and luminous, bright face of Musa al-Islam. They were so excited. They were so excited. The smile, went across their face. And in that excitement, they said, they recognized that this is Musa al-Islam. They recognized Musa al-Islam, and they accepted Musa al-Islam as a prophet of Allah Ta'ala. They gave their faith to Musa al-Islam. They testified their iman, and with that excitement, Allahu Akbar, they passed away. Both parents, both elderly people, they passed away. Now what happened? That butcher who was at the door, he came back to the room. He noticed his parents have passed away. And Musa al-Islam is also present there as well. So, whilst he was worried, he was feeling that my parents have passed away. But at the same time, he now recognized who this personality was. He quickly came and he said, "Are you Prophet Musa al-Islam?" And he quickly came to Prophet Musa al-Islam. He kissed the blessed hands of Musa al-Islam. And he came to the Prophet Musa al-Islam. He said, "It seems that you are the Prophet of Allah, Prophet Musa al-Islam." And Sayyidina Musa al-Islam said, "Yes, you are right. I am a Prophet of Allah. And I am Musa al-Islam." And now what happened? Musa al-Islam said, "How did you recognize me? How did you find out? What made you aware that I'm Musa alayhi salam?" This young man, this butcher, now he said something. Now boys, pay attention to this. Allahu Akbar. He said, "These two people who are in the basket, they are my parents. And my parents, every single day, they used to make dua. They used to ask Allah Ta'ala from the bottom of their heart. Is to make dua in the court of Allah. Ya Allah, bless us with death whilst we are seeing Prophet Musa al-Islam." This was their wish. This was their dream. That dua. That Ya Allah, give us the death. They were really old, remember. They were weak and old. And the son used to give them food. They couldn't eat even themselves. The son used to feed them. And they only had one wish. So it was like that, as if they were waiting for that moment. And that when that moment took place, when they did the ziyarah of Prophet Musa al-Islam, that was their love. And when they saw the Prophet Musa al-Islam, and he noticed that as soon as they saw you and they passed away, that means that dua is accepted. They have seen Musa al-Islam and they suddenly passed away. That's a sign that you are a prophet of Allah. You are Sayyiduna Musa al-Islam. This is how he said, I recognize you are a prophet of Allah Ta'ala. And then the butcher, he further said, Allahu Akbar. He said, whenever my mom, she used to eat food. I used to feed my mother. Whenever she used to eat the food, she would make dua. She would be so happy for me that I'm feeding her. She'd be so happy and she would make this dua. She used to say, Ya Allah, make my son the companion of Prophet Musa al-Islam in Jannah. So this son used to care for the mother, used to feed her, used to give food to her, used to look after her. He used to love the mother so much. The mother was so happy with him. And this dua came from the lips of the mother. And she used to say in the court of Allah, Ya Allah, make my son the companion, the neighbor of Prophet Musa al-Islam in Jannah. So this was the dua of the mother. And Allahu Akbar. And Musa al-Islam, when he heard this, he told that butcher. He told that butcher, Allah Ta'ala has made you my companion in Jannah. And that is the reason why Musa al-Islam traveled there, to see the companion. Allahu Akbar, this person was so lucky that he was made the companion of Prophet Musa al-Islam in paradise. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, today we had a chance to learn a story about Prophet Musa al-Islam and this butcher. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can someone tell me, okay, I'll ask the kids first. Can you tell me when Musa al-Islam, what dua did Musa al-Islam do in the court of Allah? Come on then.
He did a dua, can I meet my companion in Jannah?
Yeah. Ya Allah, I want to meet that person who's going to be my companion in paradise. I want to see him in this world. That was the dua. And then then Allah Ta'ala ordered Musa al-Islam to go and travel to so and so place. And Abdul Qadir, who was that person that Musa al-Islam was told to meet? He was a butcher. Well remembered, Abdul Qadir. That's so good, mashallah. You're paying attention. Now let's turn to Nu'man Reza. Are you ready? Nu'man Reza, when this butcher saw Musa al-Islam at first, he didn't recognize them. He thought this person is a traveler. So what did he do next?
He invited him for food.
To his own house?
Yeah.
Yeah. And whilst they were having a meal, what did this butcher have next to him?
A big casket.
Yeah, a big casket or a basket, whatever, something big. And in that basket, when they were having meal, I leave these questions for you and Abdul Qadir, whoever wants to answer. So when this butcher was having food, he would take some bite himself and some he would put in that basket. How many bites he would eat himself and how many bites he would put in the basket, Abdul Qadir?
About two.
What, two what? Tell me.
About two bites.
Two bites what?
Two bites
in the basket. Yeah, you have to say a full sentence. So he would put two bites, two pieces of food in the basket. And how many himself?
About one.
One himself. Yeah. And who was in the basket, Ali?
Two people.
Who were they?
Their mom and dad.
Whose?
The butcher's.
The butcher's mom and dad.
How
it was
can a
butcher's
mom and
parents
dad
were in this basket. And this basket, this butcher, he was so kind and loving towards his parents that he used to feed them. They were really old. Obviously, when we say a basket, you know, we have like a certain image of a basket. You know, what was this? How was that material? How did it look like? Allah knows best. This was thousands and thousands of years ago. Yeah? So in the books, it might say a basket. Allah knows best what type of basket it was, how did it look like. Allah knows best. But it was something, it's a sign that he used to love his parents. You want to
how can two parents fit in a basket?
That's a good question. And that's exactly what I've just mentioned now. Ali, That's exactly what I've just mentioned. Me, it shows you were not paying attention. Yeah, I said when we say it was a big basket, we're picturing it like a big tub. Yeah.
Yes.
And then two people are inside that tub, and I think, how can two people fit in a basket? That's what we're picturing out here. Yeah. But we don't know. That was thousand years ago, long, long time ago. So we use the word is used basket, but in reality, what was it? Allah knows best. Whatever it was something that parents were inside it. It could be like a cot. Like kids have a cot, sometimes they have a big, large cot. Could be a bed, whatever it was something, like obviously it wouldn't be something that, astaghfirullah, like, you know, you dump someone in. It was something that we looked after. It was some, remember, this butcher was caring son. So it wouldn't be just any bucket or a basket. It would have been something special. Yeah, that he used to look after his parents. He would keep them there. Yeah, for their safety and well-being. So one thing that we learned from the story, one important message is that this butcher, he got this honor. He got this blessing that he became, he was given this honor to be a companion of Prophet Musa al-Islam in paradise. My question to you boys is, what made him earn this honor? What was that main thing? Come on.
He was being kind to his parents, very, very kind.
It was that. He was being so kind to the parents, but there was something else after that. As a result of being kind to the parents, something happened, and because of that, he got this honor.
After he fed the mother would do a dua, and she would say,
Ya Allah,
make my son the companion of the Prophet Musa alayhi salam.
In paradise. MashaAllah, well done, Noman. That was the main thing I want to say to everyone today. All the kids who are watching this, this butcher, he got this great honor and a great rank, great special blessing because of the dua of the mother. He loved his mother, he used to care for her mother, he used to be so nice and kind towards the mother. And in return, what happened? The mother used to make dua for him. And mother used to make a special dua. It's not just a normal dua, very special dua the mother made. And that dua got accepted. That dua is accepted. Therefore, all the kids who are watching this, we should all be nice and kind towards our parents. Be nice to them. Never raise your voice unto your parents. All the kids, are you paying attention? Make sure you never raise your voice in front of your parents. Don't shout. Don't scream to your parents. Don't do this. That's not a nice thing to do. A lot of kids do it, don't they? Ali?
Yeah.
Do kids, Ali and Abdul Qadir, can you please tell me, does that happen? How do kids behave with their parents? Can you tell me?
Sometimes they do it.
What do they do when they be naughty?
They scream at their parents. Or sometimes if the parents take the screen time away, then they just shout at their parents.
Yeah. Abdul Qadir, can you tell me how naughty they behave with the parents? What do kids sometimes do?
They can probably when the kid wants a PS5, even on their birthday, but the parent says no, and then they get angry and they shout and they go up to their room.
Yeah, so kids shout at parents. How dare you? What are you doing? Come on, kids. You need to realize, come to your senses. Islam has taught us to be kind to your parents. In the Quran, many places, Allah Ta'ala has commanded us to show, to be extra nice, extremely kind toward your parents. Show mercy towards your parents. There's so much honor and greatness of being nice to your parents. Islam has taught us to be nice. And just one example I've just given you. Just one example. The dua of the parents. The dua of the parents is accepted in the court of Allah. And we all should be wishing that I want the dua of my parents. But for that, you need to do something. One is, we ask mom, can you please do dua for me? Dad, can you please do dua for me? This is a good thing to do as well. Whenever you're stuck, whenever you're in a problem, you're in a difficulty, go to your parents. Mom, I've got a problem. Can you please do dua that this problem gets away from me? That this issue gets resolved. Yeah, you should do dua. Ask your parents, request them to make dua for you. Yeah, and parents, inshallah, they'll do dua for you. However, one is asking to make dua. Then you have another thing, which is you be so kind towards them, the dua just comes from their heart. And them are the dua that you want. Them are the duas you want. They might not say in front of you, they might say in a secret, they might do dua in the private, but they'll do them duas for you. That dua will come from their hearts. That's what you need to do. Make sure you are kind to your parents. You love your parents. Be nice to them. Help them out with the shopping. Help them out in the kitchen. You know, whatever you can do, help them out in tidying things up. No, don't give them trouble. Don't give them trouble. Whenever the parents tell you to do something, we should feel honored. My mom has given me a task. Feel honored. And you know, I'm going to give you a challenge. I'll give you a challenge today. Are you ready? What is the challenge? What do you mean? What's the challenge? You need to be ready for the challenge. No matter what the challenge is. What's going on, Ali? You need to be ready for the challenge. Are you ready? Who's ready?
I'm ready.
Oh, mashallah, both of them are ready. What about you? Are you ready, Noman?
Yeah, I'm ready.
That was not a really exciting reply. Mashallah. Come on, everyone. Are you guys ready for a challenge?
Yeah.
Okay, then. Yes, that's like it. Come on, Ali, do it again. Are you ready for the challenge?
Yeah.
MashaAllah. Come on, everyone. Let's hear the challenge. The challenge is, from now on, from today, whenever your parents, your mom or dad, or any elder person in the family, when they tell you to do something, obviously good things, whenever they tell you to do something, if it's eat food, go change your clothes, read namaz, anything good, anything they tell you to do something, then your challenge is, don't let them say it again. If your mom told you to, for example, go drink one cup of milk. Yeah, she said it once, it's come from once on the lips. Yeah, don't let your mom say that again. She shouldn't be repeating it. Why should she say the same thing like 10 times and then you drink the milk? That's not a nice thing to do. So you should have honor for your mom, have love for your mom, respect for your mom and dad. When they tell you to do something, do it for the first time. That is the challenge. And Ali thinks it's hard for some reason. Is it hard?
But what if you're playing the game?
If your mom tells you, stop playing game, come downstairs, have sari.
Can you like pause it, then
do whatever your mom tells you to do.
But what if you can't pause the game?
Then turn it off.
Why turn
game,
it off?
Look, Ali, try to understand. Game is not important. Respect for mom is important.
Yes.
You need to understand that. Okay, you can have fun, you can enjoy, kids do so many things. But we need to realize we are Muslims, and in Islam, honor of parents is so much important to us. We have to have love in our heart, we have to have respect for our parents all the time. So if parents tell you to do something once, don't let them say it again. Do it then and then. That's the beauty. That is the challenge. What do you think, Noman Reza? Are you up for it?
Yeah.
And you think it's an easy challenge? Yeah. So two things I'm going to say to you today, inshallah. One, then we're going to move on to the next segment. One, never let your parents say the same thing twice. So if they told you to do something, do it for the first time. Don't let them say it again. Take that as a challenge. Second thing, all the kids, are you watching me? Are you listening to me? Are you guys listening as well?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Next challenge is, whatever the circumstances, whatever happens in your life, your kids at the moment, even if you grow big, even if you become an old man, whatever happens, never ever raise your voice in front of your parents. Never raise your voice. Don't be angry at your parents. Don't shout and scream at your parents. That's not the Islamic teaching. That's wrong. Are we ready for that challenge as well? Yeah, these are two challenges. And inshallah, if you act upon both of them challenges, you're going to win the hearts of your parents. By the way, should we take a moment and remember those parents? There might be some kids who are watching this program, some elderly people who are watching this program, whose one or both parents have passed away. Let's make dua for them as well. Yeah, if any of your parents have passed away, we do dua that may Allah Ta'ala shower His immense mercy upon their resting place and give them a high place in Jannah. Make their grave from the gardens of paradise, may the grave become so illuminated and they have happiness and peace in their graves. And on the day of Qiyamah, may Allah Ta'ala forgive them without any accountability. And through the shafa'at, the intercession of the Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam, may they have entry to paradise. Ameen, bijahin nabil, ameen. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Let's go to our next segment called Islamic Heroes.
I love Islam, I love Islam, I love Islam. 14.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Welcome to our segment, Islamic Heroes. Alhamdulillah, in this segment, we select one of the great personalities of Islam and we share some beautiful facts about their life. Today, we have one great individual, great personality, someone who famously is known as, he used to love cats. He's a companion of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's a Sahabi of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's known for loving his cats. His name, he got that name because he used to love cats. Which companion is this? Have a guess. Sayyidina Abu something. Starts with H. Who? Re.
Hurayfa.
Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Today, inshallah, we are going to learn about this great companion of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Subhanallah. Let me tell you, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu is one of those companions, those great and lucky individuals who, subhanallah, he dedicated himself. No, he left everything to one side. He dedicated his whole life, you can say. He dedicated his time, his family, everything to learn Islamic knowledge. He's one of those lucky people who are known as Ashab-e Suffa. He's known as? He's known as?
What's Ashab-e Suffa?
Yeah, who is Ashab-e Suffa? Remember, when you have a question, you need to keep that question in your mind for a bit. Because I've just mentioned the word Ashab-e Suffa, I was going to explain it. So maybe after 2 seconds, you would have got your answer. So hold your question for a bit, for 1 or 2 minutes. If you think I didn't answer it, then you can ask your question. Okay? Is that a deal? Come on then, we've done a deal now. Let's see how long he can keep the deal. So Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu is one of those companions who are known as Ashab-e Suffa. By the way, all of you, pay attention here. Abdul Qadir, you need to look at me. All of you look at me and Noman as well. And I'm going to ask you some questions at the end. So I'm going to share a story with you again, quick story. Then I'm going to give you, I'm going to be asking questions, so pay attention. So today we're learning about Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He's one of those companions who are from Ashab-e Suffa. Who are these great people? Ashab-e Suffa were those individuals, those people who dedicated themselves for learning Islamic knowledge. They didn't do anything else. They had no other profession. They just dedicated. They came in the court of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. They had a designated area in Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif, right next to the blessed house of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. In that place, currently that place is inside the Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif, the blessed Masjid of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. There's an area which is a bit high. It's like slightly high. And this area is called the area where the Ashab-e Suffa used to spend time there. These people, they were so hungry. These people were hungry. They didn't have food. They used to struggle. They were so patient. And these people, they were poor people. These were generally poor people. They were so hungry, though they left, they accepted to be poor. Rather than doing business and doing other things, they dedicated themselves to learn Islam, to learn the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu from directly from Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam used to love these people so much. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu is one of those people, Ashab-e Suffa. And this is one of the reasons, because he was one of the Ashab-e Suffa and he used to be so close to Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. This is one of the reasons why when we read the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith, a lot of places it's mentioned that this narration, This hadith pak, this saying of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, has been narrated by someone. So how do we know that Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam told us this? Is because someone made us aware. And who is this narrator? Who taught us this? Who made us aware? In many hadith pak, many of them, Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu taught us. So he passed on them sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam to other people. So when we say it is reported by the authority of Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it is narrated by Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we talk about this great personality who used to be in the court of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam so much. He used to learn the knowledge from Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and then he used to pass it on to other people. He used to teach other people. Subhanallah. So at the early stage, he was poor and he went through a lot of hunger. One day, because I don't have time to expand on this, I want to share with you an incident. One day, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu was extremely hungry. He was so hungry. And just to give us an idea how hungry he was, his blessed stomach, because he was so hungry, his stomach was like, you could say it was so in, it was like touching his backbone. Yeah. You know, when you're so hungry, you got nothing in the stomach, it's so empty. Yeah. And these companions, including Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you know, because you're so hungry, and obviously you feel that pain, don't you, when you're hungry?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you feel when you're hungry?
Like...
You feel hungry, don't you?
Yeah.
You want to eat something, you have extreme need and urge to eat something, you can't move around. And he used to go through this phase. Look at these great personalities. How difficult time they went through. And once he was extremely hungry, he was extremely thirsty, he didn't have anything. And our beloved master, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, arrived. And he saw Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was extremely hungry. And Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam became aware of his state. And Sayyidina, our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, I'm going to share a miracle with you boys. Pay attention now. Our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam invited Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu to the blessed house of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. When Aqa alayhi salatu wa sallam arrived home, he asked one of the mother of the believers, one of the lady of the house, asked them, is there any food? Is there anything at home? And one of the honorable lady of the household of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, yes, there is one bowl of milk. Okay, one cup, one bowl of milk in the house. Some companion has just given that for you. So in the whole house, there's no other food. There's only one. Put your knee down. Ali, pay attention. You've gone to a different world. Pay attention here. So in the house of the blessed house of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, there's only one bowl of milk. Can you believe it? Only one bowl of milk. There's no other food there. Allahu Akbar. That's another note. That's another thing we need to keep in mind. Now look at how our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam used to live his blessed life. Anyhow, there's one bowl of milk there. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam asked the family to bring that bowl of milk. And then told Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, go and call the rest Ashab-e-Suffa who were there. There were around 70. There were around 70 other people who are known as Ashab-e-Suffa. These people were poor and hungry. Yeah, and who dedicated their life for learning Islam. How many were there? 70 of them. Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam told Abu Huraira, Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, go and call all them 70 people. And Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu thought, there's only one bowl of milk. And I need it the most. Now if I bring all of them, the 70 of them, what am I going to have? Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Now, but because it's a hukum, it's an order of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was so obedient, he went and he invited all them companions. 70 of them, they all came to the blessed house of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. They arrived and Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam instructed Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, take this bowl of milk and give this to each and every 70 of them people. It's only one bowl of milk. Give this to all of them to drink. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. You know, you want to know what happened next? Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu told, it's only one bowl of milk. I needed the most. And Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has ordered me to give this to each and every person. There are 70 of them. But because this is the hukum, the command of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, then Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he took this bowl of milk, he gave it to the first companion. Remember, all of these were hungry and thirsty companions. They were poor people. The first companion was so hungry, he drank so much from that bowl of milk. When he quenched his thirst, when he filled his stomach, then he gave the bowl back to Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he took this bowl to the next person. He presented to him. That companion, that sahabi, he drank so much from that bowl of milk. Then one by one, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave this bowl of milk to 70 companions. All of them filled their stomach, they quenched their thirst, they drank the milk from that one bowl of milk. And then, Allahu Akbar, the milk was still same. The milk did not finish. Allahu Akbar, this is a miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. That bowl of milk was still full, it didn't even go down, it was still same. And now, after this, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said to Sayyidina Abu Huraira, now, O Abu Huraira, you have this. You drink this. And Sayyidina Abu Huraira, now it's his own turn. Remember, he was the one who was most extremely hungry. He was the most thirsty. So once he got hold of this bowl of milk, he said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Possibly the Sahaba Ikram, all of them, they recited Bismillah Sharif. Then he drank from this milk. He drank so much, he kept on drinking. He filled his stomach. Then he gave this bowl of milk, which was still, milk was still inside. He gave this bowl of milk to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said to him, Abu Huraira, drink some more. Because he was so hungry, he was so thirsty, he drank some more. He again drank so much. Then Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Huraira, drink more. Pay attention, drink more. Three times, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu drank and he filled his stomach. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said to him, drink more. But now, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I am full. I don't have any space left anymore. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. My dear brothers, the kids of Madani Channel, did you see this great miracle that, you know, took place in front of the eyes of Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So it was due to Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala and his state, I was so hungry, all of the Sahaba Ikram were blessed to have milk. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And this is a great miracle. One bowl of milk was enough for 70 companions and they all drank full. This is a miracle of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. It's beyond our understanding. We can't even imagine this. This is why this is called a mu'jiza. It's a miracle of the prophets. Allah ta'ala has given special powers to the prophets. This is one of them. This is one example of the miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, did you see one bowl of milk, Ali? That was more than enough. And even right at the end, after 70 people have drunk, even then the milk is still there.
But it's just 70 people.
Yeah, but when you drink a cup of milk, where does the milk go? Yeah, and what happens when the cup? The cup becomes?
Empty.
Empty. And in this case, it didn't become empty. So this is the miracle of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And this happened right in front of Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was that companion which I was mentioning to you early on. He used to love cats. So once Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam saw Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was with the cats, he was loving them so much. And Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam called him and he said to him, O Abu Huraira, Abu Huraira, literal term means father of cuts, but it means like someone who has loads of cuts. Yeah? And his real name is Abdul Rahman. Famously, he is known as Abu Huraira. So people love this name so much because it came from the blessed lips of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And Sayyidina Abu Huraira loved this title so much, and he was known famously for this. People have actually forgot his real name. Yeah? Is one of the names that's mentioned is Abu Abdul Rahman. And Prophet sallallahu ta'ala called him Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Today, alhamdulillah, we had the honor of learning about this great personality, great scholar, great sahabi, great narrator of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam, Sayyiduna Abu Huraira. Inshallah, in our next episode, we will discuss another great personality of Islam. But inshallah, we'll do that. But now it's time for us to move on to our next segment of the day, which is called Sunnah and manners.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, we're in the segment Sunnah and manners. And in this segment, we learn about various practices of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam that we can implement in our daily life. And we've got one really important topic that we're going to be talking about today, inshallah. Today we're going to talk about a very important topic. Something is on your body, and we normally get rid of that part of the body. So it's not clipping nails. You did that yesterday, didn't we? What could it be?
Clothes.
You got it on like upper part of the body.
You have it.
Generally, I'm going to talk about...
What did you do yesterday?
You talked about sunnah and manners of cutting nails.
Okay.
But today it's going to be different.
What about hair?
I don't know. What about hair? What about hair?
Cutting your hair is sunnah and manners to cut your hair.
Yes. Today we are going to be learning about sunnah and manners of cutting hair or hairstyles. MashaAllah, we've just got someone who's just joined us in the studio. He's going to be sitting there. Inshallah, he's going to watch the program, inshallah. Now, today we're going to be learning about hairstyles. Are we ready?
Okay.
Yeah. We are going to talk about hairstyles. People have all sort of haircuts. We all should, first of all, we need to remember, as Muslims, it is important that we look after our hair. We need to care for our hair. Don't just leave them, you know, untidy and bushy and just don't look after them. No. We need to look after our hair. So in this segment, we're going to learn some manners of how we could, what we could do to look after our hair. Okay, we have to care for our hair. Okay, remember, caring is important. We have caring for our hair as well. How do you care for your hair? By combing your hair. What could we do?
What does combing mean?
Comb. Do you know? Have you not used a comb? What do you call it? Brush.
My dad used it.
Yeah, you've seen your abu using a comb on the beard. Yeah, they have a comb, or you can call it brush. You brush your hair, comb your hair. So we need to comb your hair regularly, and we should oil our hair as well. Use oil. It is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam to apply oil on the hair. Whenever you wash your hair, you put oil on your hair, and then you comb your hair, you will feel fresh. You'll get special energy. You'll get excited. You'll be ready to do some activities.
I don't like
it. It has an impact on your like behavior. Yeah, so a Muslim is a clean and tidy person. So make sure you oil your hair regularly. If not every day, then every other day, every 2-3 times in a week, make sure you oil your hair. And when you cut your hair, you know, try to keep your hair according to the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Don't cut and don't use any hairstyle which the respected people, you know, the Islamically respected people, they don't have that type of hairstyles. Don't keep that type of hairstyles that people could laugh at you, and they're not Islamic. There are so many hairstyles out there which are not, you know, not respected. They're not nice. So I'm not going to mention the names today, but I want you to remember that, you know, have such hairstyles that where you don't make, you know, fun of your hair. Don't look weird. People laugh at you. Yeah. One of the sunnah hairstyle I want to share with you today is the... What is a sunnah hairstyle first? I'm going to ask you a question. Which type of hair should you keep? There's a name. I'm waiting for, looking for a name. Abdul Qadir?
I'm...
What about the hairstyle? Everything is, where all the hair is facing that way.
Was that the question I asked you?
No.
What's the question I asked you?
The leader.
You need to tell me the sunnah hairstyle. There's a special haircut hairstyle we should have, which is called the sunnah hairstyle. What is that?
What is the
hair sunnah style? To keep long hairs. You know these hairs, can you see me here? Okay, these hair, they're long. These are called zulfam. Having long tresses, long hair. And there's different levels, how long should you keep them. There's some, according to one sunnah, you should keep it up to halfway of your ears. Yeah, one is to keep them up to bottom of your ears, up to your earlobes. One is to keep them so long that they touch your shoulder. This is for the men, by the way. Yeah, so this to keep hair, you know, keep them same, not like some are long from the top, they're long from here, they're short. Keep them all same, yeah, same level of hair, you know, and keep them up to either up to ear levels or up to shoulders, but don't keep them past your shoulders. It's not allowed for a man, it's not allowed. So even boys should be avoiding keeping hair that are long. Who keeps the long hair? Women, ladies keep long hair. For them, their hair should be longer than the shoulders. Okay, so to keep zulfa, yeah, these long hair, this is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Remember, anything that is connected with Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that is the best ever thing. So the best ever hairstyle is the keeping zulfa. So please make an intention to keep zulfa in the love of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. There's so many blessings of keeping zulfa. And those who want to cut their hair small, you should cut them all in one shade. Keep them small, but keep them all one shade. That's something that you could do. And also those people who have the honor to perform Umrah and Hajj, when they end their ihram, when they perform their rituals, what do they do at the end? They do halaq. They shave their heads. Okay, they cut their heads. They cut their heads. They shave their heads. Yeah, they cut their hair. And this is called halaq. They perform halaq. They cut their head to the minimum. So for those who are doing Umrah, for them, that's the sunnah that they should be doing. That when they cut their hair after the Umrah, that then they come out the boundaries and the requirements of Ihram.
You have to cut your hair.
When? Like, yeah, you have to. If you look at it as a human being, it's important that we cut our hair. We have to cut our hair, because if the hair go past your shoulder, then it's guna. So we have to cut the hair. Yeah, so you can't just keep the hair long.
I think
really long, hairy person, all your heads are touching your feet. You can't do that. That's not allowed. Yeah, we are Muslims, we have to be clean and tidy.
I think he's talking about like hair when you go Umrah.
In Umrah, this is from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is important part that when you cut your hair at the end of the Umrah, that then you're coming out of the boundaries of Ihram. So you've completed all the rituals and practices of Umrah. Now this is the important part. It's important. It's needed. If you don't cut your hair, then you're not out of the boundaries of Ihram. There's a certain state that you're in, and you can't just do anything at that time. You have to meet the requirements. Like one of them is you can't cover your head when you're in the state of Ihram. Inshallah, one day when we talk about Umrah, then we're going to learn about the requirements of Ihram. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Now we're heading towards the final moments of the program. Final segment of the day, harmful habits.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Welcome to our segment, Harmful Habits. Harmful Habits. Allahu Akbar. What are we going to talk about today? Have a guess. It's something that some kids have, a really bad habit. When they speak, they say something really bad. They do something
swearing.
Really bad.
Swearing.
It's not swearing. What other bad habits? It's not that. There's something else we're going to talk about.
Shouting.
Normally you do it with the tongue. But it's a really bad habit. What could it be?
Maybe it's talking with bad words at the start of your sentence.
It's not that.
Singing.
Or like something when they, like, it's not true. It's the opposite of true.
Lying.
Lying. We're going to talk about lying. Right, lying is one of the evil habits. Some people have this habit. It's not nice. Abdul Qadir. Abdul Qadir. Welcome back, Abdul Qadir. MashaAllah. Abdul Qadir, lying is a really bad habit. And some people, they lie so much that it becomes their habit. They just do it all the time. They cheat people. They don't tell the truth. Yeah, if you get in trouble, yeah, if someone gets in trouble, then because they know they're doing something really naughty, they know they're going to get into trouble. And to hide their trouble or avoid to getting in trouble, what do? They lie. Yeah. For example, now someone broke, we were talking about milk before, weren't we? So someone broke a cup of milk, yeah, and the milk splashed everywhere. So some people, they have a big mouth, and to avoid getting in trouble, what do they say? Oh, they blame their brother, or they blame their little sister. Oh, it was her. She did it. She broke the milk. Oh, why did you throw my milk? Yeah. So they say it so loud, they get the sisters in trouble. That's lying. Lying is haram. It's not allowed. It's forbidden in Islam.
Then they're going to go to hellfire.
Yeah, if lying leads a person to hellfire, it's not allowed. Muslim is an honest person. Lying is a bad tag on you. You shouldn't be lying. Before we continue, we got some messages here. Musab from Watford. Musab is 7 years old, and Musab has said there are two sajdah tilawat in 30th para. We're gonna find out shortly, inshallah. Are there two? Are there five? Are there one? How many sajdah tilawat are there? We're gonna find out. Assalamu alaikum, uncle. Our names are Umme Hani, Ahmad, and Hadia Rafiq from Bradford. MashaAllah, thank you for sending your message. And you said 15 sajdah tilawat. In para 30, there are not 15 sajdah tilawat. And some people have said 14. There are not 14 sajdah tilawat in para 30. What's going on, people? It looks like you did not go and open the para 30. That's the task you were given. Come on, everyone. Pay attention.
I think they were counting all the things
they were counting
on
all the
sajdah
tilawat, yeah. Like, I don't think they were counting. They probably read it somewhere.
No, I think they were counting all the different things that were written on the side.
What do you mean? Or Al-Rakus. It wouldn't be that as well. I think they're looking at how many sajdah tilawat are there in the whole Quran. And there are different reports. Some scholars say 14, some say 15. That's a different matter. But the question is, in para 30, how many sajdah tilawat are there? That's the interesting one. Whilst we're waiting for that, can you share one or two knots, two couplets of knots? Then inshallah, we'll just carry on the topic.
MashaAllah.
Come on then. Read the Sharif.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rab, ya Rab, sweet. Medina, Ya Rab, Suwe Medina, Mastana Banke Jau.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, that was a beautiful kalam. Inshallah, you'll get a chance to read that next time. Inshallah, now we are now at the, going to the nearing the end of the program. Can we go to the screen and see what's the answer of the day? The answer is two sajdai tilawat. There are two sajdai tilawat in Spara 30. MashaAllah, well done to all the kids who got the correct answers. MashaAllah, it looks like Abdul Qadir didn't know the answer, did you?
I was such a good guess, I said three.
You had a such guess. How is three a good guess?
Yeah, because it's not so correct. So close to two. That's
come on. We'll have to deal with Ali now. Anyway, we have to go now. Inshallah, we'll be back again. Until next time, look after yourself. Stay safe. Stay well. Before we go, can we all look at the screen that way? And we're gonna say, "I love Islam." Are we ready? I'm going to see who says it with more energy. And all the kids out there, can you also raise your voice and say, "I love Islam"? Okay, we're gonna say it three times. One, two, three. I love Islam.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.